Dr. Donnie Wilson about the stress remedy and how stress of all types can disrupt the body's synergy. At 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Lisa Loving speaks with Jason Mott, New York Times bestselling writer, NAACP Image Award, and author of the new book, The Wonder of All Things. And we would like to thank all you KBOO members for such wonderful support.
This is Sun Lee, KBOO's membership director. Thank you to everyone who called in during our fall membership drive. With your amazing support, we reached our $80,000 goal. We would also like to thank all of our volunteers for doing a great job and for making KBOO a great community and radio station. And thank you to all of the restaurants that provided food. For more information on them, visit kboo.fm/food. We are proud to be your radio station and honored to have your support this fall membership drive. Thank you.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, October 13th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today, we're going to be talking about the ordeal of James Ryson and along with him, of course, Jeffrey Sterling. And this is a problem that would appear at first to be confronting one individual, but it's not. It's all of our. It's a problem for all of us, and we would be more aware of it if listeners, if we adopted a Native American and indigenous type of justice. I've been reading up on this. There is a very good article by Ada Picos Melton in the Indigenous Justice Systems and Tribal Society. In the article, which details and lays out the differences. There's a very useful chart. It's literally one side, the American justice system, and on the other side, there's the indigenous people's system of justice. And just this is a one-page chart, very easy to look at. Something that should be posted up on the wall as a reminder to all of us that the way that we have is not necessarily the only way, and perhaps not even the best sort of justice, because what we have right now allows for travesties such as the Obama administration's prosecution and persecution of reporter James Ryson. Overnight, there have been developments on this on the issue. We're going to be speaking today with Marcy Wheeler on this very thing. Marcy Wheeler writes widely about the legal aspects of the war on terror and its effects on civil liberties. She blogs at emptywheel.net and writes the Right to Know column for ExposeFacts.org. If you missed any of that, we'll put it on the website. What she has said is Michael Hayden hesitates to say that James Ryson should be jailed for protecting his sources, but he does so using an interesting rationale that Ryson, like Hayden himself, was just protecting sources and methods, yet that equates whistleblowers knowingly risking their livelihood to share important news with the government, secretly violating the privacy of millions of Americans. Go figure. Good morning, Marcy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to welcome you. There have been developments, quite recently, literally, I believe, overnight. Michael Hayden, of course, has had more to say on the topic. Can you briefly, for those listeners who haven't been keeping up with this, If you could just briefly get people up to speed, perhaps up to the point where The Nation magazine published, came out with that story very recently documenting the administration's actions and how we got there.
James Ryson, a great investigative reporter for the New York Times, back in 2005 and 2006, first in December of 2005, with Eric Lichtblau, did an article on the illegal wiretapping program that the government had been doing. And Michael Hayden was the person who ordered that program to continue even after DOJ withheld approval for it. So it's important to know that Michael Hayden has an investment in this issue. And then shortly after publishing that story, Ryzen came out with a book on that story and a bunch of other counterterrorism intelligence stories, one of which described a program called Merlin, in which the CIA dealt nuclear blueprints to Iran, allegedly in an attempt to thwart their nuclear ambitions, but actually they ended up getting tipped off that the blueprints were wrong and therefore probably may have helped Iran. In any case, that story, the government never prosecuted anybody for the illegal wire, for whistleblowing on the illegal wiretapping story. They tried with Thomas Drake and some other people from the NSA, but they never indicted anybody for that leak in particular. What they indicted Drake for was other things, and that case largely got thrown out. But they did indict Jeffrey Sterling, whom they accused of being the source for the Merlin story. So in other words, for years, Ryzen's sources were being, or Ryzen's alleged accused sources were being investigated for having served as a source in this Sterling case, which is just about to restart after a bunch of appeals. This Sterling case is the only one that still is out there, but the government is insisting that they're going to call Ryzen to testify to confirm that Sterling was his source. And so he may end up going to jail to protect his sources for that Merlin story. And the whole thing stinks, largely because the same people prosecuting this case are some of the same people who were involved, especially in the illegal wiretap story, in what was clearly an illegal program.
So now Michael Hayden, who is the former director of the National Security Agency, the NSA, says that he's coming out and saying that he doesn't see the need for the government to prosecute Ryzen. Hayden apparently is saying that it feels like, this is the quote, conflicted. I'll bet he does. About whether Ryzen should be compelled to reveal the sources. And what James Ryzen is facing is pretty serious jail time. And I just wondered, what happened that is causing Michael Hayden to back away from his previous position?
Well, Michael Hayden has always been fairly chatty with the press. He actually, for the first time, sort of tried to do PR for the NSA when he was NSA director. And I would bet good money that he has himself served as a source for journalists in the past. But it's also worth remembering that the torture report is going to come out sometime, probably after the election, but sometime in the near future. And we know, even given documents that have been released, we know that Hayden, when he was CIA director, after he was director of the NSA, he went on to become CIA director. We know he lied to Congress. He lied to Congress about how broadly briefed the torture program was. And so in advance of that report, he and a bunch of other CIA people have been leaking madly in an attempt to undercut the Senate report. And so he's doing precisely, I mean, we know that he is talking about classified matters on torture to defend himself. And to get ahead of the accusation that he lied to Congress. So he's got a lot of mixed motives here. But you know, it seems like every time, I mean, many, many, many of our top national security people talk to journalists all the time. And so, you know, they use that system. Michael Hayden surely did. Shirley still is in an attempt to get ahead of the torture report. So we should definitely question his motives.
Yeah, this brings up the curious difference between leaks, which seem to come out on a regular basis, which have are not sourced. It's always like, you know, an expert or someone in the government. We can't reveal a name. Seem to be released judiciously and in a timely way to bolster whatever it is that the government is up to. And yet when whistleblowers or those who reveal some odious and probably illegal morally, ethically questionable actions on the part of any government, any given government, this one and many others, that when people step forward and say, you know, this is going on, then they the government demands that they give up their sources, and then there's the threat of prison, and it just seems that there are leaks, and then there's whistleblowing, and that the legal, from a legal perspective, the difference between the two is questionable at best. I wonder how we end up with a legal system, a judicial system that protects official leaks and goes after people, reporters like James Ryson. Depends on what they want to reveal. I find it hard to justify it from a legal perspective.
Well, and it's not only that, but no one has gone to jail for torture. No one has gone to jail for illegal wiretapping. And yet people who reveal details of those programs have been threatened with, and in the case of John Kiriakou, have gone to jail to expose these things. And so the information asymmetry is really striking on both counts of whether the underlying crime gets prosecuted, but also, as you said, on the differential treatment of various leaks, whether they're official leaks that are meant to serve propaganda purposes or, in the case of whistleblowers, that are meant to expose government wrongdoing.
So where does that leave us? Just a final note before we let you go. Where does that leave us? When investigative reporters go after high-ranking government officials, when they go after those who have perpetrated torture, they bring to light some of these things that are truly not just illegal but odious and terrible. I mean, it's just countervene everything that we think of as moral and ethical, and yet it occurs, and when they're revealed, these things happen. Our justice system, our Department of Justice, it seems that this has got to be leaving a lot of people wondering how we got to this point and how we get away from it, because this is not what the rule of law was supposed to be about, as far as I understand it. How do we get out of this hole?
Well, I think, that's one reason to explain the more systemic leaks, like Chelsea Manning, like Edward Snowden. I think the more the government tries to maintain this information asymmetry, the more it invites these the use of anonymity to the extent that that's still possible online to leak documents, to get things out there in the public record. But I do think it really undermines democracy, because more and more investigative journalists are moving on to different beats, are covering different issues, because it's very hard for them to do this work when just the normal everyday act of, you know, talking to a reporter gets more and more people in government at least to have their livelihood threatened with their security clearance, but also in 7 cases to be prosecuted.
Thanks so much for that. We've run out of time. I've been speaking with Marcy Wheeler, who writes a lot, widely, about the legal aspects of the war on terror. She would be the go-to person to understand those legal dark corners. She, of course, blogs at emptywheel.net and writes a right-to-know column for exposedfacts.org. We're going to put all the info on the KBOA website. This has been Erica Skadia for Monday, October 13th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOA AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. No rights.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to support More Love for Linda, a tribute and celebration of life for Linda Hornbuckle, who passed away Saturday, October 4th. A benefit concert was already planned to help raise funds for her medical bills, and now will raise funds for the family debt and serve as a public tribute and celebration of Linda's life. More Love for Linda will be held Tuesday, October 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Crystal Ballroom and will feature Quarter Flash, Soul Vaccination, the Linda Hornbuckle Band, and other special guests. Again, that's Tuesday, October 14th at the Crystal Ballroom, 1332 West Burnside in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Amazing grace.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values and